We have a special guest this morning. He's not new to this house. He's a part of our house. But I love this guy. I give him a bad time, and he returns the favor. But I love him, and I love his wife and family, and I love their heart for the kingdom of God. And so I just want to say it's been a great month. I don't know how many was here last week, but Michelle just killed it last week. It was incredible. I've heard so many awesome reports, and I just love what God's doing in our house with the ministry in our house. So, John, come, and we celebrate you.
Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing? Welcome to church. Hey, there you go. Awesome. All right, so this morning, I have no idea what direction we're going in. Y'all okay with that? Okay, cool. My wife would tell you I'm a little ADHD. No, she wouldn't tell you I was a little ADHD. She should say he all the way ADHD. So I kind of operate in one direction, and then a squirrel comes along, and I operate in a different direction. Yeah, true story. So we're going to go with that. I say that because after last week, that message was incredible that Michelle brought, and I said, man, I sat there as a man, and I said to myself, man, this is tough to hear. This is tough to take in. Like, this man culture thing, am I a part of that? Like, is my, you know, I was kind of getting, maybe not offended, but, like, taking a little personal, stepping on my toes a little bit. And God was opening up things in my mind. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and he's like, yo, that's something that you need to consider, something that you need to address, something that you need to honor. I can speak firsthand to the fact that God has incredible and amazing things and has used me in incredible and amazing ways, but if it weren't for the woman that he partnered me with, and if she wasn't used in her fullest capacity, then what we do as a whole and the fullness of God's glory over our lives would not be happening. And so it takes the part of the man and the part of the woman combined together to show the fullness of God. And so I really like the part that you were talking about where God took from man, woman, and he was taking out certain parts of it. And we think that it all has to be centered on one part, but God created man to be the protector and the provider. He created woman to be this nurturer, and all those elements we think, well, if you don't have this, then you can't be, let me see how the right way to say that would be. So we feel like one is more important than the other. We feel like, well, you're the provider and you're the protector and you're big and strong, so you must be the dominant one. And then we look over here and we see someone who's nurturing and compassionate and caring and giving and serving, and we think, oh, they're a lesser importance. But it's when you put all those pieces together that you see the full character of God. See, God is definitely our provider, definitely our defender, our protector. There's nothing that can stand against him. But we serve a God who is unbelievably compassionate and nurtures us and takes us in our most difficult and hurting moments and reaches out and gives us a hug and reassures us of his love for us. So there's that. And then I was listening to the part where she was talking about and it really comes back to perception. My perception of the woman at the well has always been a little shady. Okay, this lady had been married 5 times, was with this dude who was the 6th person she had been with, and he wasn't even married to her. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, man, what kind of woman is this? And then Michelle was saying, and who's responsible for the divorce in that culture? Perspective, perspective, perspective. We see people through our lenses, And it can often cloud what God wants to do in their lives because we're looking at them from our perspective rather than looking at them from God's perspective. Don't let that happen. We have to get out of our mindset, our judgments of others, our perceptions of others, and allow God to download what he is seeing. God was seeing her hurt. God was seeing her rejection. He wasn't looking at the outside. He was looking at what was going on the inside, and he was speaking to that. That's what he wants to use us for, if we'll allow him to. Okay, cool. So that was last week's sermon, and it was incredible. And if you weren't here, you need to get on the podcast, and you need to check that out because it was worth listening to two or three times. It was awesome. So this week, I was going to add to that. Be like, man, a guy needs to preach that same message so that other guys sitting in there can know that that's supposed to be important. So, yeah, I'm going to add to that. I even sent Michelle my notes. I'm like, hey, what do you think? I'm going to put this in there. It's cool. All right, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Validation. It's powerful. Yeah. And then all week long, healing, healing, healing kept showing up in the scriptures that I was reading and in the studies that I was doing. And so I'm like, all right, cool. So I start preparing for healing and what that looks like. And then I'm sitting in here this morning, and God's taking me in a totally different direction. And so I'm like, I mean, I don't know. I got notes for like 14 different sermons up there. So whichever direction this goes, we're going to let the Holy Spirit operate. So let's do this. Let's open in prayer and just ask the Holy Spirit to speak and see what happens. Father, we come to you tonight, or excuse me, this morning. And God, I just pray that you would show up. Not my wisdom, because there's not much there. But Holy Spirit, I want you to interject whatever it is that you want. Because you know every single person sitting in every single chair. And you know what they're going through. You know what they need to hear. You know their struggles, and you care unbelievably for each and every person in this room. The one who is on top of the mountain and the one who feels forgotten at the bottom of the valley. Every one of them matters to you, and you have a word for every single one of us in this place today. And so I want that word to be spoken. Not my will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so the original plan was to speak on the healing power of Jesus. Because as I was reading this week, I was drawn a lot to the Gospels. And time after time after time in the Gospels, it speaks about the healing power of Jesus. How he showed up on the scene and changed people's lives. And I was like, oh man, that's good. I like that. And that's an exciting message to preach. Because I like to share with people about the power of our God and the goodness of our God. And so I'm going to. I'm not going to in any way undermine that. We serve a God who in a moment can show up on the scene and change what's going on in somebody's life physically. He can show up and he can do things in somebody's life, and my wife is going to get up in a minute and share a story where somebody who has been dealing with something for an entire lifetime physically can in a moment be healed. We serve a God who can do that. And that's exciting. If you are a child of God, that should excite you. Because you serve a God with the authority over every physical element that you see in this place. And so that should be able to, if we could fully grasp the authority that he has, should be able to overcome our fears and our worries and our concerns, because nothing that is in front of me is out of the grasp or potential of him to immediately alter it. He can immediately step in and change it. And he calls me and you his child. And I know, I got a couple of them at home, how much I love my kids and what I would do for my kids. My power is limited. on what I can give them. His resources and his authority and his power are not limited. So just imagine what he can do for you as his child and what he wants to do for you. That should bring some excitement to you. That should bring some excitement to you. There you go. Come on, that's our God that we serve. Let's give him some glory this morning. So this reminds me, just real quick, again, rabbit trail, squirrel. Last basketball season, I'm a basketball coach. The year before, we won the district championship, lost only one game, crushed everybody that got in our way except for that one stinking team from Slott Hill. But that was 2 years ago. This is last year I'm talking about. The team is 1-13. Ups and downs. Okay? And we're in the final game of our season. Man, I'm talking about, we've worked hard all year. You guys should be excited that we're here. We got an opportunity. And it was kind of the same response. Yep, that's good. All right, coach, let's just go get this season over with. Let's not live our lives hoping to get the season over with. Let's look at the game that's ahead of us and the opportunity that's in front of us and get pumped up. Okay? Good deal. All right, so we're talking about the healing power of Christ. We're talking about what he can do. And a lot of times whenever we talk about healing, we get focused on physical healing. You're so low. I'm afraid to sit in it right now. We talk about the physical healing that happens. And we pray a lot of times with expectancy that God's going to alter. Yes. Everybody give it up for Peyton. Yeah. I used to own a Saturn that was like low to the ground like that. And every time I got in, I was like, all right, here we go. It was horrible. I had bad back injury from that. Traumatized by a Saturn. Okay, squirrel. Y'all are still with me though, right? Well, let's go on this fun ride together. All right, so were we talking about healing? We were talking about healing. There you go. And so a lot of times what we do when we're talking about healing and when we're praying about healing, when we're reading about healing in the Bible, it's all about the physical. And we serve a God who's absolutely capable of healing the physical. But let me just throw this out there. More important than physical healing is our spiritual healing, and more important to Christ than our physical healing, even though he cares about every element of our life. Don't undermine spiritual healing as though it's a secondary healing to physical healing. They both matter to him. He wants to give you healing in your life, physically and spiritually. But don't ever correlate with each other the fact that, well, I didn't get the physical healing I was expecting, so God must not be here working in my life. Things are not always going to be what we think they should be, and that's okay. So before we go any further, I'm going to let my wife come up and share her story. Yes, give it up for Julie Wonder Jim. Because here's the deal. This is a cool story. I'm not going to tell it. I'm giving you an intro. She didn't even want an intro last time. She's like, you're going to tell my story, and then I'm not even going to have anything to say. Dude, how many people were here for the last service? She had something to say. Can I get an amen? Amen. She brought it. I was just going to like walk off the stage and let her finish and wrap up. But she used to serve as a missionary to El Salvador. And so she's going to tell you about one of her experiences with her trip to El Salvador.
He wouldn't ever tell my story and then hand me the microphone and tell me to tell my story. Never. I didn't know he was going to ask me to do this until we were driving here this morning. So just stay with me.
They can stay with me. They can stay with you.
It's practice. when he was talking to me this morning on the way here about healing, and I always ask him, hey, what are you talking about when he's preaching? What are you talking about this morning? What, you know, what's going on? And I thought he was going to follow up on Michelle. It's probably good he didn't try to follow up on Michelle. Just, you know, no offense, but she's a woman.
None taken.
So he was telling me about, he's going to talk about healing, and this story that I'm going to tell you, this is just what came into my mind as he was talking. When I was in El Salvador, I kind of hung out with the interpreter most of the time. It's a really, if you ever go to a foreign country and you don't speak the language, just make really good friends with the interpreter, and it makes things a lot easier. So we would go set up, and just to tell you how long ago this was, we would do Carmen human videos. Anybody remember that? You know, like, okay. Everybody remember Carmen? My daughter's like, no idea what you're talking about. So we would set up in the street and do these just street programs. El Salvador, is Gisela here?
No.
She's in El Salvador. All right, well, it's a very Catholic country, so, you know, they believe in healing, they believe in miracles, but they don't all have a very personal relationship with Jesus and know who he is. And this was in the 90s, right after their civil war, so their country had just been through a lot. So we'd set up, we'd bring, you know, meet their physical needs, but we'd also give them the gospel and do these ridiculous human videos. And they would line everybody up, and this one evening, we were in the city right outside of San Salvador, and they lined up in the street, and people, just hundreds and hundreds of people came, and we did one of those fire tunnels like we've done here. Which I had never called it that before, but that's what we did. They would come up and go through the line, and we'd pray for them for whatever they came to be prayed for. And I'm not a real, like, touchy-feely kind of person. Like, you know, I'm not real into being real close and personal with people. So it was an uncomfortable situation for me, especially then. I was 16, so, you know, even then, I was extremely shy, didn't want to be up in people's personal space. Never in a million years would think that I'd be sitting up here talking to people in front of people. And so that's where I was at in my life. This lady comes through, and the interpreter takes my hands and puts my hands on the sides of her ears. Well, I can't understand what she's saying because she's speaking Spanish. But what she was saying was is that she had lost her hearing. She had had some kind of virus years before that her fever got so high that it almost killed her and she lost her hearing, and she wanted to hear again. And he put my hands on the side of her ears, and he starts praying in Spanish. And so what am I going to do but just start praying, right? And she starts yelling and repeating the same phrase over and over. And I said, what is she saying? And he said, she can hear. She's saying, I can hear, I can hear. And she's running around to her family, and she starts saying, well, now what is she saying? And he says, I don't know, because she's not speaking English or Spanish at this point. She's, you know. So that experience was just an amazing thing for me to see as a 16-year-old to, you know, I had grown up in church, but to actually see somebody's ears open, like she came here and couldn't hear, and now she can, and her family is just jumping up and down, excited, and just the moment was something I will never forget. And so we go back every evening. We would go back to the missionary's house where we were staying, and we would tell everybody, these are the awesome things that happened today, and I was, like, ready to share that this is what happened, and, you know, God used me to do this, and this is so awesome. And of course, when you're a teenager, everything's about you, right? So I, you know, was able to pray for this lady, and she was healed. And so the next day we go out and we do it again. This day we went up into the mountains, and it was a more rural area, the kind with just dirt roads along the side of the mountain. The sewage ran through the ditch in the street, that kind of place. They washed their clothes in the river, and so it was a really different environment from being in the city the day before. But we did the same routine, and that day they had decided that I was going to be the clown that day. So they dressed me up like a clown, literally, and So the whole day we're going through the village and we're passing things out and giving out candy and toothbrushes and all kinds of fun stuff. And so I got to be the clown. But when it came time to do the service, to preach the gospel, to pray for people, they said, okay, the clown needs to go hide because you're a distraction to the kids. The kids all thought I was a cartoon character, one of their favorite, like, Spanish television cartoon characters. I apparently looked like her. So they all kind of went crazy, and they said, you need to go hide because the kids just keep wanting to come see you. And so I went and hid and sat on a rock kind of around the corner of the building. And from my perspective, I'm kind of looking down this dirt road, kind of waiting for the service to be over. I'm not able to serve tonight. And I see this little boy coming down the road, but he's not walking. He's crawling down the road in the dirt. And I'm thinking, why is he crawling on the ground? And as he gets closer, I can see that he has calluses all on this part of his arm, and his knees are all really thick callus. And it's very clear that he has not walked in a very long time, if ever. He may have been born that way. So it took him forever, and I kept thinking, I wish I could get up and go carry him down here, but I'm going to be a huge distraction. So I just watched this kid crawl all the way down to the service, and I just decided right then, I'm praying for this kid, even if it's from my rock behind the building. I'm praying for this kid, and he's going to get up and walk. This whole village is going to come to Jesus. They're going to be all, you know, like it was last night when the lady's ears were opened. And so I'm praying and praying, and some of the team went over and prayed with the little boy, and then they picked him up, and they walked back down the dirt road to take him home. And I was just deflated, like, no, put him down. He's going to walk. Those legs are going to straighten out, and it didn't happen. And so they walked him back home, carried him back home, and we got all on the bus and went back, and it came time after dinner, we all get together, and we're going to share what happened today and share all the great testimonies. And I sat there quietly because I was kind of ticked. And I had a little bit of an attitude with God, like, why didn't you heal this kid? He's got to crawl through the sewer. Like, why wouldn't you want him to walk? I don't understand that. If you can help the lady here, then why can't you help him walk? And so I just sat through the whole thing. I wasn't going to say anything. I kept it to myself. And right as we were getting ready to end, the interpreter came in and he said, hey, I'm sorry I'm late. I had to stay back in the village. I had to go pray with a family there, and it took a while. But I wanted to tell y'all what happened. And so he begins to tell us the story about this whole family. They all lived in this little house together the way they do in El Salvador, in several generations living in one home. And he said, you know, this family was really into witchcraft. They kind of blend Catholicism with witchcraft, and they put spells on people, and they you know, do a lot of really spiritually dark things. And their son came down to the service and got us and asked us, would you please come and pray with my family and tell them what you just told me, because I want them to know about Jesus. And so we carried him home. And when he said that, I realized that this is who he was talking about, was this little boy that crawled down there. And when he said, we picked him up and we carried him home and we told his family about Jesus, and they all fell on their knees and they all repented of their sins and they asked God to forgive them for the things that they had done. And this little boy's whole life, they had thought this was a curse, that he had been cursed, and he was looked down on, he was treated really poorly. And I realized that maybe in my own 16-year-old brain, I didn't necessarily understand how much God really wants our heart. And that little boy didn't crawl down through the dirt all the way down the road to the service because he wanted to walk. He crawled in the dirt alone so that he could get somebody to bring back and tell his family that God loves you and wants better for you than this, that he wants to deliver you and set you free. And this little boy had lived in this he had lived in this understanding his whole life that God has cursed you, and that's why you have to crawl around in the dirt. And he was able to understand that that wasn't true, and that God loved him and had better for him. And so, you know, it was something that God was able to show me, and he's brought back to my memory several times over the years. There's a lot that we've been through. I mean, a lot of people have suffered a whole lot more in their lives than we have, but there have definitely been times where I needed to know how much God loved me no matter what was going on, no matter what I saw with my own human eyes, that he did love us and that he wanted better for us. And so I hope that that means something to you. No matter what you see, God is good, and he really wants healing for you, not just in your body, not just in what people can see on the outside, but he wants healing for you in the things that people can't see.
Right. So good. Good. Stay right there. Hold on.
I love you. Hey, so normally she would walk off the stage and go sit back down over there. But I think that it's important that we allow the Holy Spirit to operate, and so that's what we're going to do. And just like Michelle said last week, the fullness of God's wisdom is demonstrated in the man and the woman. So I'm going to try and add, and I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'm going to let you answer, because I believe that you have great wisdom that you can impart to us this morning. But as I listen to that story, I hear two totally different sides of things. The first side of things is, man, we pray for people and they're healed just like that. Everything we expected God to do, God did exactly like we expected him to. We prayed and boom, that lady could hear again. How amazing, how wonderful, how magnificent. Yay, God. And that's awesome. And then the second part of the story I hear is, man, we prayed for this guy. And then they had to carry him back to his hut up in the mountains. Well, that's not the God I know. But God was doing things in this kid's family that were so much bigger than him walking. God was changing the eternity of an entire family. But in our minds, all we were worried about was, could the kid walk? Let me ask, which one's more important? His physical healing or his spiritual healing? Which was more important? And so I think we can get so caught up in the expectation of what we think God should do and how we think God should heal that we put God into this box. And if it doesn't happen that way, all of a sudden God's goodness has disappeared, or his power and authority is all of a sudden not there. We have to be very careful not to do that, because the same God who healed the woman and gave her her hearing back is the exact same God who went into that little boy's home and completely transformed his entire family. And God was amazing and incredible and perfect in both situations, even though one had a physical healing and one did not. God was still incredibly amazing in both situations. So I say that for this reason. When we pray, absolutely let's approach the throne with the hope that God is going to touch the physical. Because time after time after time, God touched the physical. He met the physical need of people. A lot of times he did that so that he could be glorified. He did that because he understood that if I meet people's physical need first, then they're going to be open to what they truly need. But the physical is not the end all. And he understands that. And he understood in this situation that didn't need to happen. Would we have liked to have seen it happen? Do I understand why it didn't happen? Can I explain it? Nope. But I don't need to explain God. What I need to do is trust God. And whatever he decides to do, I'm going to trust that it's not only for the good of me, but it's for his glory. Because in the end, here's the reason why we were created. Not so that I could have everything my way, but that he could receive glory. Julie and I were talking a little bit earlier, actually in between services, after she heard me on all my rabbit trails the first time through. And we were talking about Hebrews 11. And this is something that we have gone back to over and over and over. We've stood on Hebrews 11. It's an entire chapter dedicated to individuals with faith. So if you'll indulge me, I'm going to read to you for a minute. And probably not this whole thing, because that's a lot. By faith, God formed the entire universe. By faith, Enoch went up to heaven without even dying. By faith, Noah was on an ark and his entire family was saved from destruction. By faith, Sarah and Abraham were able to have children after years and years of being infertile. By faith, by faith, by faith, Jacob became the father of many nations. Joseph was able to save his entire country. Moses was able to lead his people by faith. And we got to see all the good things that God does because these people had faith and they believed that he could do it. And so if we stop at verse 32, 33 of Hebrews 11, and we don't keep on reading, we can get into the trap of believing that if I just have faith, everything's going to be perfect. God's going to do unbelievable miracles that I've never seen before. Be careful of your perception of what God's miracles are. Because a lot of times we feel like a miracle has to feel good. Like I have to, everything has to work out for me, and then this miracle has happened in my life. But perhaps God's working miracles on our behalf, and we're not feeling them the way that we would like to feel them. But he's still working. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. He asks us to have faith. And as we have faith, he brings about all kinds of amazing healing in our lives. Tell me about the second part of Hebrews 11.
In the second part of Hebrews 11, he talks about people being beheaded, talks about people being martyred. Not exactly as sparkly, not as fun as, you know, walls falling down and splitting the Red Sea and being saved from a worldwide flood. All those things are pretty cool. But what it says at the end of Hebrews 11 was that they were too good for this earth. And it makes it very clear that the people who were beheaded, the people who gave their life, weren't any less important to God. They didn't matter any less, and they didn't have any less faith. And I can tell you that, you know, most of y'all know us in the last few years. You've seen me pregnant. You've seen us with loads of kids. Like, they keep coming out of the van, and you think, when is it going to stop? They just keep coming out, right? But there was a period in our lives that there weren't any children in our home. It was very empty and very quiet, and we lost a lot of babies. And we went through infertility treatments that didn't work. And we gave our hearts to kids that weren't ours and then had to hand them back over to drug-addicted parents. And it doesn't feel very miraculous when you're handing that baby over that you've taken care of. You saw her little umbilical cord fall off, and you got up with her in the middle of the night and took her to the hospital when she was sick, and then you have to hand her back over, and you want her to be with her mother, but you just terrified at what might happen to her. And then to see God just heal families and put families back together that were so broken that you would think there is no hope for this family. And to watch him put that back together, it doesn't look like a miracle in our own human eyes, but God is working in hearts, and God is working on addictions, and he's working on inner healing in people's lives so that they can know who he is, so that they can see who their father really is. And the end of Hebrews 11 for a lot of years kind of felt like our lives. My life kind of felt like the end of Hebrews 11 rather than the beginning. But what I want you to understand from that is, go read Hebrews 11 for yourself, for one, because God's going to speak something different in your life than he is in mine. But when you go and read through that, whether your life feels like the big miracle or your life feels like you're being beheaded, whichever valley you're in or hill or mountaintop you're on, faith looks the same. And so watching that little boy crawl through the dirt just to get Jesus to his family has stayed with me for 26 years. And when I would go through times when I had to bring my baby in a specimen cup to the doctor so they could figure out why I lost him, I remembered that little boy and that you have what that little boy was crawling through the dirt for. You have that. You've been in church since you were 7 days old. And I could get through those times and realize that this life is not what it's all about. That you might have suffering, that you might have pain, you might have cancer. I saw my mom healed from cancer, and it's amazing. She's been healed for 10 years. But I've also seen people suffer for years. God is still the same God, and he's still good. And he wants to heal you beyond what you could imagine. But our real healing comes when we meet him. And so, you know, when you read through Hebrews 11, just remember that your faith, you know, for so many years we felt like we'd go up on Sunday morning for prayer, and I had a really bad back injury, and I don't want to have surgery, I just want to be healed. And we had people who meant really well say really horrible things to us that, you know, we couldn't have children because we needed to get the sin out of our lives, and things that people repeat that, is that really how God feels about you? No. Are you going through things in your life because you don't have enough faith or because you haven't made him happy? No, he's your father, and he loves you, and he wants the best for you, and he can heal you, and he wants to heal you. But you need to come to him with the understanding that no matter what's going on, he is good.
So when we look back at our lives, Julie would tell you the story that her mother had cancer for about 5 years, stage 4 lymphoma, correct? Doctor said, you're not going to make it. 10 years in remission, cancer-free. for 10 years, I've prayed for my father. He's still alive, but he's half the man he used to be. The man falls down all the time. Anybody that knows my father, he is a mountain of a man. He is definition of strength in my eyes. And there are days when I have to pick him up because he can't walk. And I've prayed, God, heal my dad. Come on, you can do it. Like that, do it. Healing hasn't come. But not for one second has my dad ever been angry or said, because you didn't take away, God, you're not good. My dad has used this time to speak life into people at a chemotherapy clinic while he's getting crap pumped into his body. Or in a Home Depot standing there and some lady knows that he's been dealing with cancer and so she starts sharing the story of her mom having cancer. My dad's able to speak into her life because of what he's endured. So let's not get caught up on the fact that we have to have a physical healing in order for God to be good. Real healing is when he comes in and starts to change broken hearts. Sometimes that manifests itself in the physical, and we love seeing that. Sometimes it doesn't. But if God is healing hearts, that's where the healing really matters. I think, again, looking at the idea of perspective and the idea that we live in a physical world, and so we have expectations of physical things to be a certain way, we lose sight of the fact that this life that we live is so temporal, so brief, in the scope of eternity. We're blades of grass, the Bible talks about. We'll be here and we'll be gone. And it seems like forever for some of us, but it's not. And God sees, God was walking with people 10,000 years ago that are long gone, and he will probably, unless he comes back, be walking with people long after we're gone. And this time on earth is not going to, how would you say that? You're wiser than me. Thanks. Such an encouragement. I love you. Our time on earth is meant to glorify God. Whatever it looks like. It's that simple. I could give you all kinds of other stuff and theology and Greek translations and all kinds of other stuff. But at the end of the day, it comes down to our time on earth is meant to glorify God. We were created to glorify God, however that looks. Maybe it comes as a physical healing. Maybe it comes in some other kind of way. But let's honor God in everything that we do. And I only highlight Hebrews 11, because again, I would love to get up here and preach the message about God always healing people. Because there's time after time after time that I could come and I could highlight all of those things on where God immediately came in and healed. And he is capable and able, and I am going to believe for that every time that I pray. I'm not going to undermine and go, oh, well, maybe he just doesn't want to heal me. No, I believe he does, and I'm going to keep asking. But the reason I highlight the other parts of the Bible is because we can get caught in this trap of, well, they're always preaching about how God's going to do these things. And when it doesn't happen that way, all of a sudden we feel like God's not there. And so it's really just for us to realize that even when it doesn't look perfect, God's goodness has never changed. Is there anything that you wanted to add? Dude, you did awesome. You're incredible. All right, I'll let you. I know you don't. You're good. Thank you. So we can do the keys. I'm gonna land the plane. I'm gonna bring it all home. So we can do that. I want to do two things this morning. The first thing that I want to do is, as our prayer team comes up, and you guys can kind of make your way up here. As our prayer team comes up, there are people in here that are dealing with physical issues, or you know someone who's dealing with physical issues. Not for one second are we saying, oh, well, you should just accept that those people have physical issues and not bring that to Jesus. Absolutely not. We want to pray for you. We want to believe for you. And we believe that God can heal and that he will heal. But there are others in this place that the healing that you need this morning is inside. It's not on the outside. It's not the physical. What you need this morning is for God to show up into your life and reveal himself to you. You need him to heal your heart. You need him to show up. And that may not be through a physical healing. That may just be words of encouragement from somebody. It may be the message you're hearing this morning. It may be in your time of prayer, he just whispers small words to you. But you need God to show up in your life, and you need to be healed of the brokenness that's inside of you. For this message, I, like I said, wrote down like 14 different messages, but I wrote something down that I want to share, if I can find it in all of this craziness. The disease of sin is the greatest cause of death among human beings. We get so focused on, I got cancer, I got heart issues, I got high blood pressure, I got ALS, I got all these things. I hate to say this to us, but we're all going to die. It's kind of the way life goes, unless we're Enoch and God just decides to take us on up. And hey, I'm cool with that too, but we're all going to die. The disease that matters more is the disease of sin, because what it kills is eternal. And if we don't work to cure that, we got way bigger problems than cancer and high blood pressure. The disease of sin is the greatest cause of death among human beings, and yet it is ignored and left uncured due to our lack of humility. I refuse to acknowledge that there is a God who wants me to be his servant. I don't want to serve anybody. I want my life to be about me. I want it to be good for me. And so I refuse to submit to his authority. And as a result, I die from the disease of sin. When God is saying right now he wants to take that out of you, and he wants to replace all of the other stuff that sin brings with it with joy, with peace, with confidence, because when we have those things, when we allow him to heal the inside part, then we can handle all of the physical outside stuff. Whether he heals us physically or not, we can handle it because we live in the confidence that we have a God who is walking with us and we have an eternity with him. And so no matter what happens to this physical being of mine, I'm good because I have a God who is walking with me, cares about me, loves me, and he's holding on to me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to be everything that I need. But we have to get to a place where we allow him to be that, where we step out of the way and allow him to do it. Because we can run and run and run and run and run and run and try and do it our own way. When we talk about healing, one of the stories that I went back to and I was reading actually earlier this morning was the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. And one of the parts in the Bible that it says is that she spent every bit of her efforts and every bit of her money trying to find a cure. And the Bible said specifically that her situation did not get better, but in fact got worse. That was the exact words. When we run and try to do everything on our own efforts, we're not getting anywhere. We're only making things worse. Our frustration level goes up. Our anxiety goes up. And we run into brick walls and we get frustrated. But when she threw herself at the feet of Jesus and simply reached out and touched him, everything changed for her. That's when she received her healing, physical and spiritual healing in that moment. God wants to do that for you. So whether you have a physical need or not in this place this morning, he wants to heal you. He wants to give you wholeness. He wants to replace brokenness with hope. But you've got to be willing to allow him to do it. You've got to be willing to come and ask him for it. You've got to be willing to say, I surrender. And when you do, pretty awesome and incredible things happen. So I'm going to close in prayer. And as I close in prayer, I want to invite people to come forward. You can come for whatever reason you want, because we love praying for people and praying with people and agreeing with you, because we serve a mighty God who makes miracles happen all day, every day. So let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for your love for each one of us. I thank you for a compassion that is beyond anything that we can comprehend. I thank you, Lord God, that you fight for us, that you defend us against the attacks that come against us, that you are always watching over us and always covering us. Despite the way our lives may look or feel, we can walk in confidence knowing that you are with us and that you are our healer. You are our deliverer. You are mighty, and there is nothing that can stand against you. And God, I pray right now for every single person sitting in here, Lord God, that they would search inside of themselves and say, God, where can I surrender more to you? What more can I give to you? And that we get to a place where we are in complete and total humility, saying, this is not my life. What happens to me in this physical body does not matter, because I am living for the glory of my Father. Let us honor you in everything that we do. And in whatever comes our way, Lord God, let us simply continue to worship and glorify you. This is how we're going to fight our battles, Lord. We're going to stand and allow you to do what you want to do. You be glorified. In Jesus' name.